like to thank Laura for taking our service this morning with the help of Michael, who will be taking Ivy's dedication later in the service. Thanks to them both. A warm welcome to the friends and family of Ivy Jean Holmes. Right. Is that better?
Yes.
Right. I shall try again then. Thank you very much to Laura for taking our service this morning with the help of Michael, who helped with Ivy's dedication later in the service. Thanks to them both. A warm welcome to the friends and family of Ivy Jean Holmes on this lovely, wondrous day. And this week's notices: Tuesday 7:30 house group on the Sunday morning Zoom link, Wednesday 10:30 a.m. coffee morning in the church. Saturday is the 10 a.m. is the prayer meeting. Please note the change of time from August. It's now 10 a.m. not 9. And then Sunday afternoon we've got our craft afternoon and afternoon tea. If you'd like to join in that, please come along. Let Sandra or Keith know in advance if you'd like the afternoon tea. That's £6 for the afternoon tea. It will be delicious. And then the arts and crafts will be demonstrated throughout the afternoon. And next week, our service will be led by Peter Strong.
Good morning. It's lovely to be here with you this morning. It's a particular joy to be sharing the service with Mike this morning. It's really nice to have you back, Mike. Thank you. I want to start by reading just a few words from a psalm. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Let's sing together, King of Kings, Majesty. read to you in a few moments is about the love of God. So I want to think a little about love this morning. How do we know someone loves us? How is it that we show someone else that we love them? There are different kinds of love, aren't there? It's not just about feelings, is it? It's not all about romance and passion. There's the kind of love that is deep friendship. You know, when you trust somebody and you can tell them anything, or the kind of love that's constant, unconditional, the kind of love that sticks by you whatever happens. And I want to tell you about two people who have shown love to me over the years. And I've chosen these two people really because they've seen the best and the worst of me. And I've brought with me some tokens of love. Now, you might think if I'm bringing tokens of love, it's going to be something lavish and expensive, like a diamond ring or something. But it's not anything like that. I don't know if you at the back will be able to see them, but I'll bring them forward so that some of you at least can see. I'm not sure my radio mic... Is my radio mic working?
No.
No? Okay. Let's dispense with the radio mic then. Okay, I'll have to stick close to this one then. Little vase of flowers there, and I've got a camping saucepan with some instant noodles in it. So these are my tokens of love this morning. And the two people that I want to tell you about, first of all, the little vase there represents my mum. Now, my relationship with my mum has changed over the years, as I'm sure is quite normal. As a child, I was completely dependent on my mum. And then in my slightly stroppy, moody teenage years, things changed a bit. I can tell you're thinking, oh, surely not. Surely Laura wasn't a moody teenager, but, well, there you go. So when I reached my teenage years, all of a sudden, both my parents became a bit out of touch, didn't really understand me, and they were a bit embarrassing, you know, as parents are. And then as I got older, as I was a young adult, my mum had got this uncanny thing that she'd... When I rang her up and there was something wrong, she'd know immediately, as parents do sometimes. Even though I was a long way away, she'd know and she'd say, there's something wrong, isn't there? And then when she was older and got a bit frail and wasn't so well, I loved her the most deeply when she was at that stage of her life. I don't know if that sounds strange, but that's the way it was. And I was fiercely protective of my mum at that time. I spent a lot of time just sitting with her, even if she was asleep. I spent hours in hospital with her, in accident and emergency departments in the middle of the night. And it was a privilege to be with her when she was older. And it was at that time of her life that the vase appeared. So when I went to stay with my mum and dad, then this little vase appeared one time on my bedside table, and it had a few little flowers from my parents' garden. And it became a bit of a tradition that whenever I came and stayed, then this little vase of flowers would appear at my bedside table. And it was my mum's way of showing that she cared for me. And even if it was the middle of winter, there'd be something would appear in the little vase. And something that was really particularly touching was after my mum had died, my dad continued the tradition. So the first time I came to stay after my mum died, this little vase appeared by my bedside table. So that's my mum. And then the camping pan with the noodles in it, this represents Richard, my husband. Some of you may know that a few years ago, I went with Richard on this big adventure in America, and we did this long distance hike from one end of Vermont to the other, and this took us about a month to do. And so Richard had seen me at my lowest, really. He sees what I look like first thing in the morning. In my teenage years, I got compared to a zombie. I'm not a mornings person, you know. I'm not my brightest first thing in the morning. So when we were on this long distance hike, we used to stay in shelters, these little wooden shelters, and there was one time at the beginning of the hike, probably 3 or 4 days in, when I was really, really tired, everything hurt, and I confess that I just went into the corner of one of these little cabins and had a good old cry and had a bit of a sulk because I was tired and I just wasn't sure that I was going to make it. And it was at these particular times that the little pan with the noodles came in. We had to carry our food with us because we were days and days without going to a shop sometimes. And so the times when I was feeling like this, when Richard would cook me noodles, this was something really special. This was something really precious. And one particular morning, I can remember waking up and the sun was rising. And these shelters sometimes, they'd only got three walls, so you could see out. And we'd arrived in the dark, and I hadn't known that there was this incredible view. So I was still in my sleeping bag, and Richard got me a hot drink with this little pan. And that was something quite special. So these small gestures can mean a lot to us, can't they? Human love inevitably has its ups and downs, but God's love is different. God's love isn't like that hot and cold kind of love, like a stroppy teenager. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't go off and sulk in a corner. His love is the very best parts of human love. It's constant, it's reliable, it's forgiving, and it never fails. So let me read to you from the book of Romans. So this is the Apostle Paul's letter to the Roman church. And this is Romans 8, verses 28 through to 39. And he says this, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's sing again. This is one chosen by Leah. This is Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Thank you.
Mike's going to come and join me now.
Good morning, everybody. Am I coming over loud and clear?
Yes, sir.
I was hobbling over. I know what Long John Silver felt now in Treasure Island. Don't break your ankle. That's the moral of the tale. 5 minutes to do it, 19 weeks tomorrow. Being prepared. It's good to see you all here. It doesn't seem long since Albie was dedicated either, does it? Alan, how long would that be, Leah?
Last year.
Last year, yeah. About a year ago. So you've grown up a bit, haven't you, Albie? It's lovely to see you too. Well, it's a warm welcome, as you've already been given a warm welcome. And we start with some passages of scripture and an introduction about the presentation of infants. In Baptist churches, for those who are not aware of it, we don't do any water on this occasion. But when the child or children are making their own minds up, then they're baptized through total immersion. It's the same thing, really, in a different way, because if you're christened like I was as a baby, as well as being baptized, you tend to be christened and then you're confirmed. It's the same thing in reverse. It's your choice, you see, and that's what we believe in, that your choice, not forced into doing something you don't want to do. So, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome today Adam and Leah with their new daughter and members of their wider family as a special welcome. Adam and Leah are here to present their child before the Lord as Jesus was presented in the temple by his parents. In so doing, they recognize that their child is not their personal property, but belongs also to God. And that as parents, they have responsibilities before God. In the promises that they will make, they will commit themselves to fulfill these responsibilities. As a church, we shall welcome their child into our family as Jesus welcomed children who were brought to him. Also, we shall promise in the presence of God to offer our support and friendship to this child and her family, and to join with her parents in sharing our faith in Jesus Christ, in the hope that one day she may discover faith for herself. And finally, we shall ask God for the blessing on this child. So let's then begin by recalling the promises and commands of God concerning children. The first reading is from the Old Testament. It's called a Shema. Hear, Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord our one God. And you must love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments which I give you this day are to be remembered and taken to heart. Repeat them to your children and speak of them both indoors and out of doors, when you lie down and when you get up. Jesus said these words, "Truly I tell you, unless you turn round and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself and becomes like this child will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And one more passage, perhaps more familiar. They brought children for Jesus to bless. The disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not try to stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." And he put his arms around them, laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Let's come to God in prayer. Lord God, we praise you, the creator of all things, the giver of all life, and the father of each person. Joyfully we thank you for the gift of new life in the birth of Ivy. And we thank you for all that you've given and will give to us through her, for the potential of her new life, for the love and hope she has awakened, and for the care which surrounds her. Lord, accept our thanks and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Adam and Leah, will you please stand with your Ivy and with Albie? Adam and Leah, do you thank God for his gift of your child? And do you accept the joys and duties of parenthood, promising to love and care for your child? Do you promise to bring your daughter up within the Christian community and to share your own faith with her? What names have you given to your daughter? Ivy Jean Holmes. I'm going to ask now Laura if you'd please. I'm not going to hold the baby myself, not with a broken ankle. Ivy Jean Holmes, we welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ivy Jean Holmes, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may he lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is Ivy, everybody, introduced to you all. Ivy was a celebrity already, isn't she? Yeah. Wonderful. Stand, please, and so again, Ivy Jean Holmes, we welcome you in the name of the Lord. And congregation, do you promise to offer Ivy and her family your love and care, and to join with her parents in sharing our Christian faith?
We do.
Let's have a prayer. Loving God, we pray for Ivy and her family. May they know the challenge and comfort of your love and see its power. Take all that we offer to Ivy, our care, our wisdom, and yes, our mistakes, and through them all, reveal yourself. Take the experiences which Ivy will have, and through them speak your gracious word. And as Ivy grows in body, mind, and spirit, feed and guide her by your spirit. Bring her safe, we pray, through childhood and youth, and lead her to one day make the good confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. Through Christ your Son, our Saviour. Amen. Please be seated.
Just over there. We're going to sing again. This is another one that's chosen by the family, which is All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Thank you.
That's a good old one, isn't it? I haven't sung that for years and years. Now, there are two words that I want us to think about today, and those words are love and welcome. Love and welcome. And the verses that I want to concentrate on are right at the end of the reading that I read earlier. And they say this. So these are the words of Paul writing his letter to the church in Rome. I am convinced that neither life, death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I wanted also to read the bit before it just to give you an idea of what's going on. So like I said, this is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. And previously he'd talked about their present sufferings. So we know that they're having a bit of a hard time. They need a bit of encouragement. And so he tells them, whatever terrible things are happening to you at the moment, nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing can separate you from God's love. And I'm not going to speak very long on this, you'll be pleased to know, because I think that's the essence of what I want to convey to you today. So if you remember nothing else that I say, remember these words. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. God is love by nature. God loves us. God welcomes us. And in Jesus, nothing at all can separate us from that love. Paul, in his letter here, mentions some particular things that he says can't separate us from God's love. He says that no people, no person has the power to separate us from the love of God. No trouble, no hardship, no danger, no violence can separate us from the love of God. Nothing in our lives, not even death, can separate us from the love of God. No spiritual powers or beings, good or evil, can separate us from the love of God. Nothing in this present time, no worries that we have about the future, can separate us from God's love. Nothing on this earth, in all creation, can separate us from the love of God. He doesn't miss much out, does he? There is nothing can separate us from the love of God. So I wondered, why does he say, in Christ Jesus our Lord? Why doesn't he just say, nothing can separate us from God's love? Why mention Jesus? Why in Christ Jesus? Jesus himself said in this lovely verse, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God's love is shown through Jesus, because he willingly sacrificed himself on the cross for us. He took on all that's wrong in our lives upon himself. It's through Jesus that God makes the first move. Again, in that letter to the Romans, Paul writes these words. He says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Many of us have that kind of niggling feeling that somehow we're not quite good enough. But God reaches out to us first, so we don't have to be perfect to approach God. God loves us, even in our imperfection. It's Jesus that shows us what God is like. In his life, he showed us the nature of God. And Jesus shared our sufferings and our struggles. We are welcomed into God's kingdom through Jesus. Those who were here when we talked about the parable of the prodigal son, you might remember that Jesus told that parable and also some other kind of lost and found parables, because he was criticised by the religious leaders of the time, and they'd said he was welcoming tax collectors and sinners and eating with them. And Jesus, in turn, got annoyed with the religious leaders of the time because he said they shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. They shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. So on one hand, Jesus is being accused of welcoming all these unsavoury characters. And Jesus is saying, but you're shutting the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. Jesus liked to mix with the ordinary people. He liked to speak to them, to socialise with them, to care for them. And they followed him about in crowds and listened to what he'd got to say because he welcomed them, because he loved them. And they could see the loving nature of God in Jesus. So today, we have kind of officially welcomed Ivy into the wider family of God. And it seemed that it's a reminder that God also welcomes us into his kingdom because he is by nature love. He loves us with this gracious and forgiving love. And it's different from our love for one another because sometimes we fail, don't we? Sometimes we let each other down. But God is never sulky or moody. God's love is constant. God's love is unfailing. And there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from God's love that is in Christ Jesus. Let's sing again, lovely hymn, "In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found."
Thank you.
We come now to a time of prayer, so let's just bow our heads for a moment as we pray to God. Father God, we thank you for loving us with unfailing love. We thank you that nothing can separate us from that love. We thank you for the loving nature which was sown so clearly in the life and in the sacrifice of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you welcome us with open arms. We come to you this morning knowing that we aren't perfect, that sometimes we turn away from you. Father, we know that we have sometimes done wrong. We have sometimes not done things that we should have done. We thank you for your promise to forgive us if we come to you truly sorry. Thank you for being merciful and full of grace. Lord, this morning we give you thanks particularly for Ivy. We thank you for that family, and we pray for Ivy and for Albie and for Leah and for Adam, that you would uphold them and that your love would be very clear to that family. Guide them, Lord, as they bring up these precious children. We come before you, Father God, this morning with issues large and small that concern us. We pray for our world. We pray for compassion where there is disaster. We pray for peace where there is war. Lord, there are things that we don't understand. There are things that we struggle with. There are situations and people on our minds today. And so, remembering your love, we bring those situations in a short time of silence, each one of us, before you now, because we know that you love and care for us. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you with the things that concern us. Your love is eternal. Amen. Our final hymn is "The Lord's My Shepherd," and we'll remain standing for the blessing after this hymn. "The Lord's My Shepherd." The blessing is a few words from the book of Ephesians. I pray that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen.